Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, podcast listener. Hope you're doing all right. Thank you very much for clicking play on yet another episode of the Euro Trip. And yet again, I'm giving you reason to reconsider that decision, because I tell you that we recorded this podcast before the news that the Netherlands had selected their artist for Turin. Now, there's nothing we can do about that. So there will be no reaction to that very exciting news, to the exciting news that the Netherlands are going to sing in Dutch in Italy. But needless to say, at some point, we will be talking about that on the podcast, but not on this episode. However, there is plenty to stay for, so I hope you enjoy what you're about to hear, and I'll leave you to this week's episode of the Eurotrip.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on social media. We're at Eurotrip Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Eurotrip. The weather is getting colder, if anything, damper. I just took a trip to the post box to post some Christmas cards, didn't realise it was raining, and I'm a little bit moist, if anything. But Jameson, you don't like the use of the word moist?
No, I just the amount of words you used there. What an array. Moist, damp. Oh, honestly. I don't know. Carry on with the relevant topic in hand.
I was going to say all similar synonyms, but I'm not sure that's correct either. Yeah, the bad news, though, maybe the weather is pathetic fallacy. Because, James, me and you, not, unfortunately, anymore going to Paris for Junior Eurovision.
We are not. It was always the plan. We had everything booked. We had our press accreditation, our hotels, our flights, all that sort of thing. But as I'm sure you've probably seen the news surrounding travel restrictions and COVID tests and all that sort of thing, we've decided that it's no longer possible. But there is some good news. Every cloud, as they say, has a silver lining, doesn't it?
It certainly does. To be honest and open with you, everybody, we just couldn't afford it because, you know, me and James do this podcast off our own back. We don't really get paid for it. So, we couldn't really afford the extra testing. But as James said, silver lining ahoy. There it is. I can see it out the corner of my eye. I can't. It's still raining outside. But we are still going to bring you some very, very special shows in the build-up to this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Not one show, not two shows, not three shows. I think four, still TBC, but I think four shows, four bonus episodes in the build-up to this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest. So all your Junior Eurovision needs will be met between now and the final next week.
Yeah, absolutely right. December the 19th is the day of the final this year, and we'll have plenty of coverage to keep you across everything.
But for now, because there's plenty of Junior and Eurovision news to talk about and plenty of special guests joining us this week, it's time for the Eurotrip.
As you know, Alessandro always said, take it away.
Hi, we are Davide Ocaccamagnet
and you're listening to Eurotrip.
But I don't close any doors. I love Eurovision, I love Melodifestivalen, and it will always be a part of me.
That night, I found myself live on Russian state television for Russia's Song for Europe.
I said to Joe, send BBC Teenage Life. Maybe 2 weeks later, I was at a press conference and I was on Making Your Mind Up.
Everyone was like, Eldar, come, celebrate with us.
The end of filming, they put honey on my face and I needed to be, you know, sexy with this honey on my face.
Hi there, my name is Martin Østerdal. I am the executive supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. You are listening to Eurotrip.
Hello and welcome to the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast with me, James.
Me, Rob.
And joining us today in what's becoming a long list of heads of delegations that join us here on the podcast is Stig Karlsson, the head of delegation for Norway.
How long is that list? Michael Keely and Stig Karlsson's, that's a two-person list.
But also remember, I think it was about this time last year, Lawrence Bubnó from Hungary, he was a head of delegation. You can't forget him, can you?
Of course. Sorry, the list is longer than I first thought. But very excited not only to have Norway's head of delegation on the podcast, but to have a man called Stig on the podcast, because it's not often that you have a Stig on the Eurotrip.
It isn't, is it? Is he the first Stig on the podcast? He probably is. And it's great to have him because it's safe to say not only is he the head of delegation for Norway, he's been in that role since 2016, but he is a through and through Eurovision fan. And also, God, his CV is very long. He's also the executive producer of Melody Grand Prix. And this clip gives you a little bit of an idea about just how much he was destined for this role.
When I was a kid, I was actually watching Eurovision, and I was going into my room and building like Eurovision stages with Lego. Oh. And now I get to sit with this design group who make our own Eurovision stage in Norway. So it's a dream come true actually.
And we've both been very, very busy this week, because while James has been chatting to Stig, I have been chatting to one of the artists who's hoping to represent their country at Eurovision in 2022. We asked for your messages last week. Well, this week I bring you Judy from the Czech Republic.
So we've got all that and more to come. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip.
Hello, everybody. Welcome along once again, as we've already said, to another episode of the Eurotrip. Insert bit here about us being delighted that you're here. We are, I promise, but we do say it every week. It's so lovely to have you along. And you're going to be hearing a lot more of us over the next week or so, because as we mentioned at the top of the show, loads of special episodes on the way next week as we build up to Junior Eurovision in Paris. Not in Paris, but we made Almost Live from Rotterdam work, and Almost Live from Paris got a special ring to it.
It certainly does. And it's safe to say we've got some special stuff planned. We've got some exciting people who are going to be joining us. Rob, can you give us a bit of an idea about who you're going to be speaking to later on this afternoon?
Later on this afternoon, I am going to make a special call to a Mr. O'Leary.
That's a good enough tease, I think. Get your guesses in. You don't have to, but at least have a think about who that may well be. I can guarantee you, you won't be correct.
Yeah, it's not the man that runs Ryanair. Needless to say.
Oh, dear. Anyway, I want to talk about some of the tweets we've had in the last 7 days or so, because I remember opening up my Twitter app on my phone and I saw a tweet from Sophie, and it just said, of course, it's at Eurotrip Podcast. And I thought, what's all this about? And I looked at the image and it was from her Spotify Wrapped. Of course, all that kicked off last week. And it was to say that her most listened to podcast on Spotify this entire year was us, the Eurotrip. That is just remarkable, isn't it? Thank you so much, Sophie.
It's very exciting, honestly. I had so much joy just looking at all of your messages. We got loads on Insta, loads on Twitter as well. And a few people just sort of messaging me as well saying, you're our number one podcast. And I cannot even tell you how much that means, because, you know, what are we? What are me and James sitting at different ends of the country rabbiting on about Eurovision every week? But it seems that that a lot of you enjoy it. We're lucky enough to be joined by some great people every week. And it's so lovely to get those messages. It makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, it's so, so special. There's a few more. Allow us to gloat for a little moment as we read out some of the messages that some of you guys who have the Eurotrip as your favourite podcast.
I enjoy this bit of the podcast, which is insert social media posts here about how great Robin James are.
I'm going to read them anyway. At ESC Fan M said, not surprisingly, the Eurotrip was my favourite and most listened to podcast this year. Thank you for the year full of quality Eurovision coverage. Jamie, thanks for keeping me company in the spare room and office and the occasional commute. It's been a smashing fun to listen to. Scotty replied to him saying, I'd like to echo Jamie's words. And also Liam, thank you at Eurotrip Podcast for a great year of content. Oh, thank you so much, everyone, whether you tweeted us or whether you want to keep it to yourself because you're a bit embarrassed that we're your favourite podcast. But honestly, thank you so much to everyone who's listened throughout the year. And it's safe to say we've got plenty more episodes to come before the new year.
We certainly do. Loads of exciting ones. So hopefully stick with us for those. I saw one as well. I think somebody in Mexico is listening to the podcast, which is very, very exciting. So thank you to all of you, wherever in the world you are listening to this podcast. And thank you to loads of you as well who got in touch with your questions for one of today's guests. Now, you may remember we mentioned on last week's podcast that we would love to hear from anybody who was hoping to represent their country at Eurovision this year, or in 2022 rather. And we got a very exciting message on our Instagram, which I will tell you all about a little bit later on. But needless to say, it got us an interview with Judy, who is representing or hoping to represent the Czech Republic with their song Jazinky. And it was so exciting to get some of your questions, which I was able to put to them in the interview, which you'll hear a little bit later on. So thank you to Co, who messaged to say, do they already have a vision for the staging you'd want to bring to Eurovision? Love Eurovision fans getting ahead of themselves. Something that Hoopa Hall on Twitter also did. They tweeted to say, when you win Eurovision, what will you say when you pick up the trophy? Bit soon, I would say, given that Judy isn't quite representing the Czech Republic yet. But you'll hear me ask some of them questions as well. Another question, Hugh, I think you sent in. I asked them all about that. So those on the way.
So if you've got any questions or comments or anything about the podcast and just to keep up to date with us generally, you can do on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Eurotrip Podcast. Or for any of your longer messages, that's hello@eurotrippodcast.com on the email.
It is indeed time for all the very latest news from the world of Eurovision and, James, the world of Junior Eurovision, because if we've not mentioned it enough, not long to go now, just over a week and a half to go.
It certainly is. I can't remember how many days it is, but I've definitely written it down in the notes somewhere. So if you can't be bothered to go and check your calendar right now, just wait about 2 minutes. I'll tell you for sure how many days it is.
Also, the irony that you can't remember how many days it is when we're now in single digits, I think, aren't we?
No, I don't think we are in single digits, are we, if you think about it? Because it's Wednesday, and surely it's more than 9 days.
I'm going to hazard a guess it's 11, but we'll find out in a minute.
We've talked long enough. Should I just do the news anyway?
I think so. Crack on.
Well, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we actually have our very first song for Eurovision 2022. Bulgaria's Intelligent Music Project revealed the song Intention on national TV at the weekend. Let's take a listen to that. Nice to hear the first song out of the blocks there. They say that the song raises the question of each of our personal inner struggle with the outdated patterns of faith and behaviour that pull us back. Always nice to hear a little backstory of a Eurovision song, isn't it? Also, excitingly, that's only the first song we'll get this month, with Albania and the Czech Republic also choosing theirs before the new year. In the Czech Republic, the seven artists competing to represent the nation have been announced. They include Ellis Mraz, who competed in the selection back in 2020. A global fan vote is open now until the 15th of December. Those votes will be teamed with a 50% jury vote and 25% Czech public vote. That's on the Eurovision app, by the way. So you can go and download that from your app store and take part in the vote globally, no matter where you are in the world. Now, last weekend, the third quarterfinal of Esti Lal took place. Five more artists have qualified to the semi-finals, including 2018 representative Alina Nechayeva. The acts for the fourth semi-final this coming weekend have also been announced. They include Ott Lepland, who represented Estonia in Baku in 2012. The artists for San Remo have also been revealed for the competition to represent the home nation of Italy in Turin next May. They include Eva Zanicci, Gianni Morandi, Massimo Ranieri, Emma Fabrizio Moro and Mahmoud, who represented Italy at Eurovision in 1969, 1970, 1971 and 73, 2014, 2018 and 2019, respectively. Whew, a lot of talent in there. And also, speaking of Sanremo, we have to wait until that competition is over until we find out who is hosting Eurovision itself next May. Philip Kirkerov, the man who was part of the team that brought us Natalia Gordienko earlier this year, and most notably Sergei Lazarev back in 2016 and 2019, has teased that he's involved in a song for 2022. He told Russian media, "The track is almost ready. The artist is ready. I think my choice will not disappoint you." Very excited to see what he brings there. Also, as we record right now, we think the list of names has been revealed for Lithuania's national selection. That includes Ajeva, who represented the country back in 2018. And finally, bit of junior news for you. If you happen to live next door to La Scène Musicale, then I'm afraid you've got some very noisy neighbours who have just moved in next door as the stage construction has begun. As we count down, here we go, the 11 days until the live show on December the 19th.
When you talk about the neighbours at La Scène Musicale, are they not the fish?
I suppose so, because it's just on a little island in the river by itself, isn't it? I don't think they've actually got any neighbours.
I don't think so. Which is, you know, ideal when you're building a junior Eurovision stage, I imagine. But some of the pictures look very, very exciting. So, it's just very exciting that the contest is so close now. Our first big contest, a little moose boosh to warm us up for Turin next year.
What a tremendous phrase, moose boosh. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know what a moose boosh means, to be precise. I don't know what it translates as. It's just like little starter, isn't it, moose boosh? I don't know. It certainly has been a very busy week for us here on the Eurotrip podcast. We've been speaking to lots of interesting people. James, you later on this week have got two interesting chats that we're hoping to bring you between now and the new year. And on Monday, I was very excited to have a chat to two very interesting people. James, you mentioned the Czech selection, or ESCZ, I believe, as they call it, which is very exciting. I saw a tweet the other day saying petition for the Czech Republic to officially change their name to ESCZ.
What, the country itself? The entire country?
The entire country. I'm not sure how well it would go down on the streets of Prague, but anyway. Very excitedly, we've got some really cool songs in that selection. None more so, I would argue, than that from Judy and the song Jezinki, which is produced by a London-based producer here in the UK who's called Joshua James. And I was fortunate enough to have a chat to them both. But how did that come about, James? Because last week we asked, of course, didn't we, can people get in touch if they're hoping to represent a country at Eurovision?
Yeah, we did. And honestly, we didn't know if anybody was going to get in touch. But remarkably, somebody did. Somebody slid into our DMs over on Instagram. We are at Eurotrip Podcast if you want to go and give us a follow there. And yeah, we were quite amazed that somebody got in touch and said, well, actually, I manage somebody who has entered a song into a national selection. Would you like to chat to them? And of course, the answer was yes.
And then, even more excitedly, we discovered that the act and the producer's song had made it onto the list for the Czech Republic's selection process this year. So, needless to say, it was very exciting to chat to Judy and the producer, Josh James, all about the song Jezinki. Now, very fun thing, Judy was wearing some incredibly long nails, which goes with the vibe of the song, but it did mean she had, honestly, an awful lot of difficulties trying to log into the Zoom. Imagine trying to use a keyboard with nails that are about, I don't know, 3 inches long? Tricky. So they eventually got there.
You've never done that yourself then, have you? You never had really long nails and struggled to use your laptop?
No, I've just started playing netball and have to cut them.
Is that part of the procedure? Sorry, Rob, your nails are a little bit too long today. Here's a pair of clippers.
No, genuinely, the referee brings along a pair of clippers. One girl bit hers off last week so she could play. Honestly. Anyway, back to the matter at hand, because we've got so much to fit into today. The reaction to Judy's song, Yuzinki, has been amazing. People are very excited about the prospect of them potentially representing the Czech Republic at Eurovision next year. So I started the interview by asking Judy and producer Josh how it felt to finally be announced as one of the candidates to represent the Czech Republic in Turin.
Yeah, it was really beautiful to be there and to meet like people personally. The moments like this where we can meet and kind of feel the spirits together and be emotional about, you know, like it was really intense today. It was beautiful.
And it must have been incredibly exciting to see the reaction to the song already that we've seen on social media. So many people are so excited about your entry.
It's amazing. I mean, I knew like what I'm bringing, so it's like it doesn't surprise me like so much which kind of reaction are coming back, because I knew what I'm doing, like what is the power of the song, because I really think I kind of put some magic formula, like some kind of spell that it stayed inside and it's still magical for me. Like there is like something about that, and Josh can, I think, say also like his own experience where we created the song, that like since the beginning, I felt that it like from the very first moment, there was like some magic.
Josh, it's such a unique sounding song. You know, it sounds so different to any of the other tracks that are in the selection process. Just talk to me a little bit about how the collaboration first came about and how you became involved in the project in the first place.
Yeah, so I was in Czech Republic in September for some sessions, and then Judy and I met. And I think on the day, it was kind of the sessions I'd had before that were like kind of like your typical like pop, R&B, hip hop, like typical those kinds of sessions. But then when Judy came in the room, like, I don't know, it was just like there was kind of an understanding that we would just be doing something different that day. You could just kind of feel like the energy that day was a bit different. And so she said she wanted to, we should try and like do something a cappella. I was like, okay, cool. That's very different. No thoughts of Eurovision or anything like that. We were just like, let's make a song. And then we were just slowly like building all the parts. Like I was arranging kind of like the vocals and stuff. She was coming up with different melodies and things like that. And we were just piecing it bit by bit by bit by bit and kind of like shaping the sound of the song and everything like that. And by the time we got to the end, like, I think we knew that the song was special.
As Josh said, like, it was so fluent and so organic. It just, you know, like, it was like there was something about the day. It was like some energy in the air, and we didn't even thought so much about it. We didn't even spoke so much. Like we were just, and everybody was doing like everything spontaneous, you know, like it was just there. I think it was just like the constellation of the people in the room, of this, of the place, because we were in an amazing place, like close to the woods and like one lake, and it was really magical. And I think also the vibe of that gave me the idea to call the song Jezinky, which is like a special word. Like I would like to explain, because I think like I have no idea what does it mean, maybe. And so it's a Jezinky, it's a word for a wild woman from the Czech woods. It's there is like one fairy tale that those women try to like steal a little boy and bring him into the wood and then to eat him alive. It's a story for fairy tale for kids, but so I found it interesting to like, I don't know why that day came on my mind, this word, and I just like transform it and into the into like how to say, like to represent our fears, that the Jezinky would be like the perfect synonyms, or how to call that word, like for representing our fears.
Tell us a bit more about about you as an artist, because I've seen loads of people on social media saying that they've listened to Yazinki and that has made them go back and listen to your previous songs, and they've discovered you now as an artist, and they've loved listening to you.
I didn't have time to read all the comments.
So for our listeners who have, you know, who have heard Yazinki, they've listened to that song and they want to go back and they want to discover more from you. You know, describe yourself as an artist.
So the point is that I have never felt, and it's also the situation of my life since I born, like I have never felt to be part of any group of people. I just felt like I didn't fit into any box. I created like my own community, and I decided like I want to do the stuff. I had really a period of my life that I connected like deeply, like on my, let's say, some spirituality, which I started to more listen my body, myself, like my third eye, let's say, and I just started to don't care like what. You know what, because until when I was teen and so on, there were so many things like from outside, like you care like what people say, like what if I do this, like what are they gonna say or how they're gonna feel. And this is really hard thing, like I think a lot of people, they still like challenge, like even your, it doesn't matter what age you are, like it's just something that just eats you alive sometimes. And I just like since a moment it came so spontaneous that I just felt like so I closed myself into my world. I started to connect with people that I love, that I feel that we have something in connection, that they make me feel good. And I started to create like my own community of people, of artists, of independent artists, of really creative, amazing people, that we just try to connect our powers, superpowers, and we try to do something what we, you know, something creative or inspirational. We try to move the borders always like further.
We had a question from Hugh on our Twitter, who asked, have you got any artists that inspire you? Which artists inspire you?
When I was a little girl, I had like a lot of posters, and of course like I had like some idols and so on. And then I just started to feel like, I don't know, like persona. Like the, and I almost like didn't want it to follow so much the other people they do, because I felt that I can be kind of influenced so much from that. And I always wanted to, you know, like find my own indices and points that I can connect little pieces together and create something that is mine.
Josh, I wanted to ask you, because you've worked with some brilliant people. You've worked with Lucas Graham, DJ Semtex before as well, of course. I bet you never thought you'd produce a song for Eurovision, did you?
Never, ever. Honestly, never. Like when we found out that when Judy told me like, oh, like Eurovision might be a possibility, I think like we should submit the song. I was like, okay, I've obviously heard of Eurovision, but I know that the UK is really bad at Eurovision traditionally. Like I've not watched a Eurovision maybe since I was like really, really young. So she kind of had to like explain to me like the process and the steps and how the voting works and all of that. So it's kind of like made me become like more engaged in the process and stuff. But yeah, I never thought in a million years that I would like get an opportunity like this, which is like so amazing. Like even if we didn't win Eurovision, even if we just, the fact that we've got this far to like be one of the final six or seven songs like to represent Czech Republic is huge, like for me, because it's just such a unique like huge opportunity and platform. And yeah, like I'm looking forward to, obviously I think we have the best song, so that's just why I feel it. I think we have the best song, so I think we should definitely get to represent Czech Republic. But yeah, I never in a million years like thought like I'd be able to like do this. Never crossed my mind. So like it's a really like pleasant surprise and a great way to end a year as well. It's been a really, really good year. Yeah,
Josh, I had a spy on one of your Instagram stories before. It was, I think, from your time in the Czech Republic. And I think our listeners would be interested to hear. I think you were partying with Albert Cherny from Lake Malawi. Did I spot him on your stories?
Yeah. Albert's really, really cool, man. Really, really nice guy. Super friendly guy. I think when I met him, like he was telling me how he lived in London for a bit himself as well and stuff like that. And yeah, he's really, really cool. Super talented guy.
Eurovision fans love to get ahead of themselves, and we had another question for you which was, have you even thought about what the staging for the song could look like if you get to perform it live, even perform it, of course, at Eurovision if you win? Have you got any ideas for the staging already?
Oh, yeah. It's as I really do care for the visual side of music, there's always some clear vision about how it should, what's the story, like what's the extension of the story. There is like definitely something about some ritual dance and like some connection of the energies. And we have like each detail really thought well. So like whatever you see, like whatever, it's just like some symbols or the colors or everything has like its own reason why we use that, because we want to express something or, you know, transmit some kind of type of feeling or energy. So yeah, that would be definitely, I think, very, very mystic, moment and experience.
Really exciting. Well, Co, there you go. They have thought about it. I'm going to ask both of you just before I let you go. Josh, what have you got to say to the voting public? Of course, you know, people can go out there, people can vote for the song. You have both talked about how much it was brilliant to work together and to create such a masterpiece of music. So Josh, what have you got to say to everybody first?
Do the right thing. You know what to do, because you know that this is the song that needs to represent Czech Republic at the next Eurovision. So if you feel, no, honestly, no pressure, but if you do feel like the song is special and when you hear it, it makes you feel something, then 100% you need to actually vote. Don't just tweet about how much you like it or like, you know, like actually go download the app, vote, you know, because we need the votes.
I kind of always went like against like the flow or like against everything that was like kind of normal and what worked like here in, I mean, I'm talking about the Czech scene. And so I felt like many times in the position of the underdog. And I was like, this kind of made me the power and the decision, like why to go there. So I was like, I need to stand for this. I need to stand for all the people that they feel that they are not maybe like, you know, listened or like heard, and they don't have enough space to explore or talk or you know, for communities of people, people that, yeah, it's just like something that some energy, like pure energy, I would like to create, and I would like the community of people can grow, and we can just find the light, you know, that it's just somehow connect us through the music and some good vibes and make us feel something. Yeah.
Well, best of luck. It's been so good to talk to you. I really hope this is just the start of the journey. Obviously, we'll catch up again when we're in Turin. You'll be about to sing at the Eurovision. That's the future. That's the dream, hopefully. But it's been brilliant. Judy and Josh, thank you so much for joining us on the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much.
This is the Eurotrip.
When you aren't listening, you can find us on social media.
We're at Eurotrip Podcast.
Warming you up for the Eurovision Song Contest.
That's right, you're listening to the Eurotrip. Plenty still to come on today's episode. And just how great was it to chat to Judy and Josh James after we asked last week, are you hoping to represent the country at Eurovision? And they got in touch. It was simple as that. Hopefully we'll chat to them again as well. If they happen to progress, it'd be great to find out what happens after you get selected as an act for Eurovision. And also, if you're listening and you've entered a song, or you know a friend or your brother or your cousin's dog has entered a song, we'd love them to get in touch as well. So feel free to get in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram, send us a DM or a tweet or whatever at Eurotrip Podcast, or send us an email, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you.
We certainly would. I'm trying to work out what selection the cousin's dog is most likely to be taking part in. Lithuania, Latvia, Romania, maybe. Maybe Michael Keeley didn't mention it, and maybe they're part of the Irish selection. Who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and find out. But it would be lovely if you would get in touch. So hopefully we'll hear from a few more of you who are hoping to try and represent the country at Eurovision next year over the next few weeks. But James, at the start of this episode, I almost halted you mid-sentence because I've received a Facebook message.
Now, this is already very exciting because you wouldn't normally tell me about this.
No, on the face of it, it does sound very exciting. because, of course, me and you, we reach out to a lot of people trying to get them on this here podcast. And I thought, somebody's come back to me. Because, James, I have got a Facebook message from Destiny.
No. What, the Destiny?
Well, here is where things get a bit interesting. I thought it was from Destiny, so I immediately jumped to reply. I realise it's actually a Destiny who has messaged me on Facebook because she wants to pick up the free mop that I'm currently giving away on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, God, what a come down that must have been. It's Destiny, the winner of Junior Eurovision a few years ago. Oh, no, just some random woman in South London who wants to pick up a mop.
But needless to say, there was very nearly a miscommunication, and Destiny from South London, who wanted to come and pick up the mop, almost ended up coming on to chat about her time at Junior Eurovision. So thankfully, I managed to make sure those wires weren't crossed before it was all too late.
Oh, dear. So what we're trying to say there is, if you want a mop, then you can message Rob directly. If you want to come onto the podcast, at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you want to, you know, you want to get that right, don't you?
Yeah, no, you certainly do. Those are the two distinct, different communication channels. So make sure you don't get those confused. If you do want the mop, then you'll have to come and pick it up, I'm afraid. I'm not going to pay for postage of the mop. But it is free. It's plastic. It's red. There's nothing wrong with it. We've just treated ourselves to a new one. So if you want a mop, if you're listening, I just want to clarify that this isn't what this part of the podcast is going to turn into. Like Rob's tat that he wants to get rid of, this free advert every week. Just the mop if you're interested.
This is the Eurotrip.
Right then, shall we get to something a bit more relevant and leave Rob's mop behind? Because we've got plenty still to come. And when I say plenty, I mean one big interview with Norway's head of delegation, Stig Carlsen.
Very excited to have Stig on the podcast. I said earlier, just because he's called Stig, which is very exciting, and Stig Rasta's not come on, so Stig takes the crown as first Stig on the podcast. And we are going to find out all sorts about Norway's approach to Eurovision, about next year's Melody Grand Prix. Honestly, it's a great one, so make sure you stay tuned, because James, you had the honour of chatting to him.
I did a couple of days ago, early this week on Monday, actually, I sat down with Stig, and he's just a lovely guy to begin with, because often you wonder, ooh, he's a head of delegation, is he stern, is he angry, is he very direct and straight to the point? No is the answer to that. He's so laid back and so genuine and so lovely, so accommodating. And it was lovely to sit down for a chat for about half an hour, 40 minutes, on a very cold Oslo evening, 8 p.m. his time, I think it was. So I dread to think how cold it was in Oslo at that time. But we chatted about all sorts. It's safe to say he's a Eurovision fan through and through. So we talk about Eurovision itself. He's been the head of delegation since 2016. We chat about Melody Grand Prix and find out a couple of little bits of info that you won't have heard anywhere else about the selection show that's due to start in January next month. But I began by asking three thoughts for a little bit of a debrief on Norway's result with Tix in Rotterdam earlier this year.
You know, MGP, the Norwegian selection for Eurovision, was such a big success. And Tix is the biggest pop star in Norway. And he got an even bigger with, you know, joining MGP. And he won. And he had a number one hit single. And he had a very, important message that he also got to bring to Rotterdam. We came in at 18th, I think, was our position. And of course, everybody is dreaming about, you know, top 10 or even, you know, winning. That is the great, great aim for everybody. So, of course, we wanted to, you know, be number one like everybody else. But there was a lot of things to be happy about. And it was quite a success for MGP and Tix that, you know, during the last year. So, you know, success comes in many layers and we're quite happy.
May I also congratulate you on a wonderful publicity stunt with Tix and Effendi, or are you going to tell me that was all real? Give us the backstory for that for people who can't remember quite back to that event.
You know, that happened naturally. It was actually not a PR stunt. Of course, it was great for both Azerbaijan and Norway that we got that kind of attention, but there was actually something special going on there. And of course, it's difficult to, you know, fall in love or whatever with someone that far away, and especially at these times when you can't travel. So it is what it is, but it was quite, there was a bit of romance something. There, actually. Yeah, something.
Should we talk a little bit about you as your role? Because as we introduced you, you're the head of delegation for Norway, but there's a lot more to it as well, isn't there? Give us an idea about the other aspect of your role as well.
I have different roles in this. You know, I'm the musical director or whatever you can call it. I'm the one who get to go out and do songwriting camps and, you know, talking to the record companies and the artists and the producers and songwriters and trying to get them to write, come up with the best stuff for MGP and then hopefully write the winning song for Eurovision. So, and my other role is, you know, being the executive producer for Melodi Grand Prix, the Norwegian selection, which is a big production. It's really big. It's a lot of people involved, and I have a great team with me, of course, but leading that big, big TV production takes up my whole year, actually. But it's great fun, and, you know, this is my life. It's my passion, you know, music and doing big, big television productions. So it's great.
I think that's the thing people won't necessarily realise, you know, when they hear you're the head of delegation, they might think that's a job that takes up maybe 2 or 3 months of the year. But for the rest of it, being the executive producer of MGP, you said that's an all-year job. That's, you know, you're doing that all year round.
Well, yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot of radio things that we do. There's a lot of social media and internet stuff. There's a lot of media stuff that we do, and there's so much going on behind the scenes that people have no idea about. So there's a lot of, yeah, it's a lot of work.
Was that a dream job for you? Was it a dream come true when you got the role of head of delegation and executive producer? Have you been a fan of Eurovision and Melody Grand Prix growing up?
Yeah, actually I have. And I've grown to be a bigger fan when I started working with it. And then I realized how really, really big it is. Of course, everybody knows that it's big. But when I got to, you know the fan clubs and got to see how many people that are so engaged in this, I realized how powerful this is and how important it is. So when I was a kid, I was actually watching Eurovision, and I was going into my room and building like Eurovision stages with Lego. And now I get to sit with, you know, this design group who make our own Eurovision stage in Norway. So that's yeah, it's a dream come true, actually. Yeah.
Are you still using Lego when you're coming up with a stage design? So it's a bit more high tech now.
Yeah, we're using a lot of 3D animation stuff, but it's not a bad idea actually to bring in a box of Lego. Maybe that's where we should start next year.
What have been some of your proudest memories or your favorite memories of those, what is it now, coming up to 6 years you've done that role now? You must have some highlights, some favorite memories from those 6 years.
Oh, it's very difficult, but of course that one moment where when we were sitting in green room with Kaino, and you know, we got the public votes, and we had the highest votes from the public that year. And you know, and the jury didn't like that song that much. So we were like climbing from somewhere down there and right up to number one at that point. So, and I think we ended up at number six. So that was quite special.
Okay.
Norway, are you ready? Because you got 291 points.
And now you're, of course, in first place, Norway.
Congratulations, you're in the lead.
Sticking with 2019, that, of course, was the last time Melody Grand Prix just had the one show. And then since 2020, we've seen it expand a lot more, haven't we? With, is it five or six shows we tend to get now? Was that a decision based on the appetite from the fans and from the audience? Was that the reason that you decided to extend MGP outwards?
Yeah, we try every year. We try to make it bigger and more spectacular and, you know, build the brand stronger. So to do that, you have to have a team and you have to have, you know, a leadership that believes in the concept, and you have to, you know, put in the hours, put in the, you know, the resources to make that happen. So we have a board of great leaders who really feel strongly about Eurovision and MGP, and so does the team that makes, you know, MGP, and that, that's the delegation for Norway. So that's what we do. We want to build it as big as possible. So every year we try to, you know, get better.
Just looking back at the last 2 years, you see, especially in 2020, 2021, we see more shows, we see more audience interaction, and it's great to see. Has any of that been influenced, I wonder, by the success of Melody Festivalen?
Absolutely. I think everybody looks to Sweden because they are like the Eurovision champions, you know, winning so many times and, you know, doing so well with their production. So we are inspired by a lot of things, and of course, Melody Festival is one of them. And but I think it's also cool. I talked to the guys, and to the Swedish guys, and I see they get inspired by stuff that we do as well. So it's like trading ideas and being inspired by each other is a good thing.
One curious part about Melody Grand Prix is that we've got the pre-qualified songs. So we've got the ones that we see in the semi-finals in the heat, and then we've got some that we only see in the final. And in the 2 years you've had that format, two pre-qualified songs have won. Is that a concern to you, or is that playing on your mind at all, that, you know, we go through the semi-finals ultimately just to have a pre-qualified song that wins in the end?
I think pre-qualified or not, the best song is going to win anyway. And the pre-qualifying thing isn't about putting the best songs in the final. It has a lot of different factors. It's more about, you know, having variation, getting, you know, diversity of different things. So it's more about us having the opportunity to put some songs in there that we really want to be a part of the final. Of course, now we had two times where there's been the pre-qualified songs that have won. Let's see what's happening next.
Shall we look ahead to 2022, the next edition of Melody Grand Prix? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I've done my maths correctly. Am I right in saying it's the 60th year that Melody Grand Prix has been run?
I think so. You know, the first one was in 1960. That was the first Norwegian selection. But there's been a couple of years where there was no Melody Grand Prix. I think you're right, but I'm not sure, actually. I have to Google it.
I thought you would be the man to know. That's why I asked you. Yeah. It must be good to be planning and preparing for another edition of Melody Grand Prix. And this year, we should, fingers crossed, have an audience again. That must be great to know that you're going to be able to do this large-scale event rather than just in a small-ish TV studio like last time.
Yeah, we're actually doing it in our TV studio. We're not doing it in the big arena, but it's a huge TV studio. So we're going to have audience there, hopefully. It's going to be spectacular, you know. Making that TV magic, we don't need those big arenas, but of course it's great to see such a big audience you know, celebrating. So we're dreaming about going back to these big arenas next year, but for now I know that we're going to make quite a spectacular show in a TV studio with a bit smaller audience, but still.
And as we're chatting now, it's the beginning of December. So I don't know, maybe you're counting down the days, about 6 weeks to go, I guess, until the first show. How far through the preparation are you? What has been done, what needs to be done? Give us an idea about what the timeline sort of looks like.
At this point, we've had the artists and the songs for quite a few weeks. So I think 1st of November or something, we had all the artists, you know, and it's 21 of them. And then we start, you know, doing this postcards thing, the artist presentation, this VTs. And then we have a design group who are working on each number, each act. Of course, we have a lot of things going on regarding the content of the show and stuff. So at this point, we recorded, you know, all the artist presentations, and that's in the editing process right now. And we're working on the script with the hosts. We're tweaking everything now to make it right. And we're preparing a big press conference on the 10th of January, where we're releasing all the songs and we're putting all the artists out there for you to know who they are.
When we chatted to Michael Keeley, the Irish head of delegation, we chatted to him a couple of weeks ago, and we were asking him about what he was looking for in terms of music and songs and songwriters. And one thing that was at the top of his wish list were songwriters who've got a proven track record of success in the music industry. Do you have a similar wish list, or do you have a list of requirements you're looking for when you're selecting songs and artists to compete?
I think the most important thing is that you have an artist and a song that hits people, you know, that makes people feel something strongly. We have some really, really strong artists this year, and I'm very happy with, you know, the artists and the songs. So I think the perfect thing would be have a really strong artist with a song which is that you get it right away, but at the same time it's quite unique and interesting, so that it's not generic, but it's still is commercial enough that you get it right away. That's what I'm looking for all the time, you know, getting that song that is catchy right away, but still have that out of the box thing, you know, being special, being unique.
Do you ever consider other factors? I'm thinking in terms of artists who are well known to the audience. You know, we look back over recent years when Kano is a big one, of course, the returned Alexander Rybak, Joust, we've seen there a couple of times as well as a songwriter. Are you looking at people like this thinking it would be helpful if we had artists who are well known to the audience, as well as some new artists that people have never seen before? Is that on your mind when you're choosing them?
Absolutely. It's I think a great mix would be is perfect, you know, having some artists that, you know, helps you make the whole, you know, Norwegian selection big. You know, you have to have someone who's gonna be right away interesting for the media, and that is positive for the artist that isn't that known as well, because then you have like a lot of attention towards the show. But when you get to Eurovision, you can have a famous Norwegian artist, and when you bring them into Eurovision, Europe might not know who they are. So I think the most important thing is the song and the quality of the artist. And some of the artists which isn't that known are maybe even greater singers or artists, you know, in terms of taking that stage and being convincing. So but a great mix of, you know, famous names and new stars, new talents. I think that's the way to do it.
How successful has the submission window and period been for you this year? Was it? Can you give us an idea about how many submissions that were entered, for example?
I think we gotten about 1,000 songs. You know, we have an open window where everybody can send their songs. There's a website where you can upload your files. And then the other part of the job for me is, you know, going out there and doing this MGP songwriting camps and calling all the record companies and artists. So I think we collected about 1,000 songs. And to be honest, they're not all great.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that, because again, when we chatted to Michael Keeley, I asked him, you know, how many songs did you get? And he told us it was around 320 songs they got submitted. And I asked, were they all very good? And he said, no, actually, most of them weren't very good at all. So it's interesting that you say a similar thing, actually.
You know, everybody who sends in songs are, you know, they have a dream. They have a certain idea of what they want to do. And for us, we have to be respectful to them and listen to it, and giving them that chance to having their songs on MGP. And sometimes we get some really, really good songs from people who are not that experienced. So everybody should try and everybody should go for it. But of course, there is a big gap between the great, great songs. You know, out of 1,000 songs, maybe you have 100 songs that are, you know, okay. And then you have 20, which is really great. That would be the 20 songs to pick.
Well, well done to you and the rest of the team who have to listen to all 1,000 of those songs. No wonder your job lasts a year, because you've got to listen to all that music. I must ask, because we saw with Tix in the, I think it was the first heat where we saw his song for the first time. He sung in Norwegian. And then once we reached the final, he'd changed it to English. Are you happy for artists to do that? Or would you rather see the first song, or the first version of the song we see, would you rather see that the one we see continue into Eurovision itself?
You know, I think that, you know, we had a discussion about it. And of course, the artists want their message to be out there for everybody to understand it. But at the same time, it seems like people from other countries think it's quite exotic to listen to artists doing their song in their own language. So, and you know, Portugal, who won in 2018, I think, and you have Italy this year, who won with singing in Italian. I don't think it's a disadvantage to, you know, choosing your own language, but it's basically up to the artist, and we have a healthy conversation about it. I'm open to, you know, sending songs in Norwegian as well. We want the best for the artist and for the audience, and we just have to, you know, have that discussion. But I will always fight for what I think is best, but at the same time, we have to, you know, respect the artist's decision as well.
Now, finally, let me ask you about what your hopes are for 2022. Tix, of course, 18th place in the grand final this year. Are you hoping for, well, naturally, you'd be hoping for an improved result on that. But have you got a target, for example, of a position in the grand final?
We're always going for number one. You know, it's if you're going to be a part of this, you have to aim for the top. It's not easy, you know. If we knew what song and what artist that everybody in Europe would like, we would send that one artist. And it's also up to the Norwegian people to choose one of those 21 artists and songs. So we're leaving that to them. So our job is getting 21 great songs and artists on stage, and then we have, you know, trust in the Norwegian people.
Now, I said that was my last question, but I promise this is my last question. Give us one thing to look forward to in Melody Grand Prix in 2022. What should we be looking out for? What one thing can we look forward to at Melody Grand Prix next year?
There's going to be 21 great songs and artists. What I can tell you, there's a lot of really, really strong singers. There's a big variation in artists, and, you know, there's a lot of different musical styles. So it's going to be really fun and entertaining. It's not going to be boring at all. I promise you that it's going to be really exciting. And there's a lot of great artists and songs there.
just what we like to hear. And Stig, you are clearly a man who keeps secrets very, very well. So Stig, thank you so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate you taking the time out to chat to us here on the Eurotrip. Thank you so much.
Thank you to you guys. Thank you.
This is the Eurotrip.
Yet another fascinating head of delegation chat here on the Eurotrip. And rest assured, we will, I feel like I've said the phrase rest assured a lot on the podcast this week. I'll say it again. Rest assured, we will endeavour to get some more of them on between now and Turin and beyond, because they always give such a unique insight into what it takes to take a country to Eurovision, the logistics behind it, the different approaches that different countries have. Honestly, thoroughly interesting. So thank you, James, and thank you, Stig, if you're listening, for joining us. And I think he said he was willing to pop back on, so hopefully we'll have him back.
Yeah, fingers crossed. As we heard from him there, you'd think a head of delegation job is just a few months a year, but for him and his extra role as exec producer of Melody Grand Prix and all sorts of other things for NRK, he is doing that job all year round. So he's a very busy man and very lucky to have him on the podcast this week.
Now, as the smell of freshly made tomato soup wafts across my nostrils, I can tell you that it is almost time for us to wrap up this week's episode of the Eurotrip. And I'm going to ask you another question, everybody, simply because I'm interested, and Spotify Wrapped got me intrigued. It's been a while since I asked, where are you listening? So where are you listening to this week's episode? As it draws to a close, let us know at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Get in touch. Hello at eurotrippodcast.com on the socials. James, has your gran had a listen while doing some more ironing? Or have we got an update from her on whether or not she's been able to listen to any of our recent episodes? Do we know?
I've got no idea. It's been a few weeks since I've heard anything from her about the podcast. She's fine. She's getting on just nicely, but don't know if she's been listening. She may have had, I don't know, some of her other favourite podcasts on loop as she's been doing the ironing each week.
Yeah, what was your grandma's Spotify Wrapped? I'd love to find out. Oh, I mentioned it there. It is time for us to say goodbye, but not before, of course, the 1 second song, which is where me and James take it in turns to play each other the first second of a Eurovision song. Now, we, of course, have to guess the song, but there are 4 points on offer. They are for the song title, for the year the song was performed, for the artist who performed the song. And because I've done that in such a bizarre order, I've forgotten the extra point, James.
The country, the song, and the artist represented as well. And then also a bit of a tenuous bonus 5th point for you to try and guess how the song is tenuously linked to this week's episode.
Now, thanks to listener Martin's spreadsheet, I can tell you that the scores are currently James 9, Rob 4. So if I get a full house this week, I am in with a chance of almost drawing level. James, do you want to play me this week's 1 second song for the first time?
Yeah, let's do it. Don't forget you can play along at home as well. So for you and for you as well, Rob, let's hear this week's 1 second song.
That sounds incredibly dramatic, but I'm incredibly clueless as to what that might be.
Do you know what? When I got this 1 second song, I thought there is no chance at all that you're going to score any points. I am very evil with this one. You will know the song for sure, but from that first second or two, I really don't think you're going to have a chance. And I'm sorry, but it's just the way it goes.
I just want to try and maintain that lead that you've got, don't you? That's what you're trying to do. Let's have another listen then. Oh, I know that you've said it there. It's one of those where once you tell me which song it is, I'm going to go, oh, of course it's that song. But I'm going to try and work backwards here from the tenuous link and see if that gets us anywhere. So what have we talked on this week's podcast? We've talked Junior. We've talked Norway. We've talked the Czech Republic. So I'm going to say it's one of those that's involved. I'm going to say that it is Norway 1990. I'm going to go for it. Norway 1995, Nocturne, Secret Garden.
Ah, well, I'll put you out of your misery straight away because I know you're desperate for some of that tomato soup, but I'm afraid you are 21 years out.
So close then.
Very, very close. In fact, we are in 2016. You do actually, forgive me, you get some points because you said Norway. So you do get a point for Norway because it was Norway 2016. Do you remember who it was now? It was Agnete with Icebreaker. Let's take a listen.
Every night before I sleep a shiver down my spine. Thoughts a lie. What can I do to make you listen? Like a northern light, you're dancing over every borderline, passing every sign between reality and fiction.
Mainly annoyed because this is one of my favourite Norwegian Eurovision entries of all time, and I thought Agnet was robbed that this didn't make the final in 2016.
Yeah, you and me both, one of my favourites from Norway over the years, but sadly you didn't get it. But you do have an extra point to pop onto the tally. Can you figure out the tenuous link to this week's podcast as well?
We hadn't always had a delegation on, and Stig Carlson's first year as head of delegation was with that song.
Honestly, you're absolutely right. I kept it simple on that respect this week, so very well done. You get the bonus point.
Bonus point, which makes it 6-9?
Something like that. You're catching up, Rob. You're catching up.
Honestly, I'm on your coattails. Very, very exciting. And we will return with a one-second song next week. Our final one-second song before Junior Eurovision.
So very, very exciting. Don't forget, we'll be back next Wednesday with a brand new episode. And then after that, we've got our Junior Eurovision specials. And if you stayed this long, let me tease you a little bit more, because during the Christmas and New Year period, we've got two festive specials, two long interviews with two massive names in the world of the Eurovision Song Contest. So those are not to be missed.
You've got bonus podcasts coming out of your ears over the next few weeks here on the Euro Trip. And next week's big guest, I should say as well, is a very, very exciting one relating to both Junior Eurovision and Eurovision. Mm. That's all we'll say.
So you can have a think about that until we join you again next week. But don't forget, you can keep in touch with us. We are at Eurotrip Podcast, or on the email, we are hello@eurotrippodcast.com. But until we join you again next Wednesday, just a few days before Junior Eurovision 2021, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye.
And from me, Rob, as I practice for next week, bonsoir.
Have we ever asked each other what Eurovision song you would choose for Eurovision karaoke?
I don't think we ever have. Golden Boy, I reckon.
Oh, what a shout.
Only if I could wear the gold trainers.
I think he might have them.
I don't think they'll fit my feet either. I'm a size 13.
Blimey.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.